and then he gave birth to triplets? Sometimes it seems like trouble just has a way of being magnetized to us. It just comes from all directions. It surrounds us and then it closes in for the kill. Some of you may be feeling that this morning, wondering how in the world you're going to get out from under whatever is over you right now. That was the situation the ancient Israelites were in today's text. They didn't just have one army or two armies. They had three armies ganging up against them. The text says it was a vast army. It doesn't give us the numbers, but vast kind of gives you the idea. As far as your eye can see, enemies. In verse 12, they admitted to God they had no power against such a formidable army. Have you ever been there? Sometimes, you know, it takes us a long time in our lives to get to the place where we say, you know what, God, this is over my head. I have no power to face what I'm up against. You see, usually when we're faced with trouble in our lives, we've been trained right from children how to handle problems. And so we marshal all of our resources, all of our weapons, all of our personnel, all of our training, all of our skill, all of our knowledge, all of our experience. We marshal everything that we have been trained with in life, and we go to fight the problems and the battles that face us. And many skirmishes in life we win. Thank God. He wants us to win. But something happens in the process. As we win those skirmishes, as little children or as teenagers or as adults, our confidence builds up. And then as our confidence builds up, we start to trust ourselves. And we think that we have what it takes to conquer whatever is before us. The tragedy in all that is when the really big battles come, when the armies come together and a vast problem is before us, one too big, it's then that we drop because we do not have what it takes. Tragically, many of us do not look up to God until we're flat on our back. What does it take in life to bring us to that place where we, like the ancient Israelites said, we have no power to face this enemy, but our eyes are on you? Verse 12, dear friends, that's the best place for any Christian to be. Our eyes are on, where? On you. That's where our eyes are to be. What battles are you facing this morning? Where God is a must. Not a nice helper, not a nice commodity, not a nice friend to see you through. Are you facing anything, dear friend, where unless God helps you, you're sunk? Unless God comes through, there's no way out. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? Help me this morning. I want you to list with me some of the things. Would you throw me that pen, please? List with me. Some of the, just call it out so I can hear it. Some of the things that we face that are impossible to accomplish unless God helps us. Fear of what? I'm sorry? Okay, fear of death. I guess fear has many different... Well, we'll just put fear because there are. There's fear of death. There's phobias that are more than we can count. Okay, what else? Okay, fear of leading someone to... Okay, I'll just put here ability to witness. Okay? Oh, did my mic just start working. My eyes were on you, Lord. You help. Thank you. Thanks also to the sound people. Okay, what else? What other things do we need the Lord? If he doesn't come through, we're sunk. Okay, to stand against, how did you say that? To reject the approval of men. Okay, sometimes we're so caught in trying to please people that it messes up our lives. Okay, the Bible says we ought to fear God, not men. Okay, but that's a hurdle. What else? What are some big hurdles in life? I'm sorry? Relational pain? Emotional pain. Okay? Many people are in major emotional pain. In my pastoral ministry, I have discovered there's so many things that can really, really hurt people in life. And many people are carrying baggage right from when they were kids. They've been abused sexually or mentally or emotionally or physically. They've been bypassed. They've been hurt. They feel second rate. They don't feel good about themselves. Emotional pain can be like a weight that's dragging you down in the ocean. What else? Oh. Trust in what way? I'm sorry? Okay, trusting God for, okay, trust. Sometimes it's very hard to trust when you're in difficult circumstances. Okay, someone else. Okay, health problems. When you're faced with the big C word, I tell you, you realize, oh God, I have no power. My eyes are upon you. What else? Spiritual oppression. Okay. If any of you have ever been hassled by the dark side, by the demonic powers in any way, you know that we have no power in and of ourselves against them, but we are desperately in need of God. Yes. Loud. Relational problems. If you've ever been in marital trouble, you know that sometimes you get to the place where you say, oh God, I've tried everything. I don't know how to get out of this one. My eyes are upon you. Okay, one or two more. Okay, so sometimes you need more faith and you can't get enough. Okay, sometimes faith is hard to come by. One other one. Finances. If you've ever been to a place in your life where you're down to your last piaster, you realize, oh God, I can't get out of this one. What am I going to do? Okay. Fear of adventure. Okay.
We'll lift that up here with
one of those fears. Okay, we could go on and make this list as long as possible until we touch something in your life. But this morning what I want you to do is, as you look at these things, realize there's times in life when we get up against a situation where we just can't do it ourselves. And how do we respond when we're in the midst of circumstances like that where we have formidable enemies against us? Do they just scare the life out of you? Do you ignore them, hoping they will just disappear and go away? Do you worry and fret and get ulcers? Look what Jehoshaphat did. In verse 7, when faced with this incredible vast army coming against his nation, it says there in verse 6 and 7, he stood up among the people and he led them in a prayer of praise. That's what he did. Look at it. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? Praise! When faced with this incredible, formidable army, Jehoshaphat stopped and praised. Now you may say, praise? In the midst of problems, in the midst of things that are swallowing us and eating us alive, God wants praise? Come on. What does he need praise for? We're in trouble and he needs praise? No, friends. God does not need praise. We need to praise. We're the ones who need it. You see, as we stop to declare who God is, we are reminded and then encouraged to trust him. We're the ones who need the reminder. You see, whenever we look at our circumstances, you keep your eyes fixed on these things, they will overcome you. They will swamp you. They will take you down. But when our eyes are on the Lord, when we look up to Him and see who He is, and that He is more powerful than any and all of these things together, we draw encouragement, we draw hope, we draw great resources to remember that our enemies and our problems are not the final authority in our life. Hallelujah! These are not the end. They are just a present obstacle. Look at verse 13 to 17 and see what happens when God's people begin to praise in the midst of our trouble. It says, "There all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah." Aren't you impressed I can say those things? "A Levite and descendant of Asaph as he stood in the assembly. He said, 'Listen,'" this man stood up. God was giving him a prophecy for the people. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul." Pretty specific, isn't it? "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord your God will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Do you see what happened here, friends? When the people took time to praise, God took time to answer. It was in praise that God provided a specific prophecy with very specific instructions and assurance of their victory. It was in praise that God reminded them that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And the next day, as they simply followed up on God's directives, they did something that would make the world laugh. They did something that would make most professing Christians today say, "No, that's just for the eccentrics. That's just for the weirdos. That's just for the people on the edge. I'm a more balanced Christian." These people did something that was so radical, most of you and I would say, "It's not for me." What did they do? Look at it. Verse 21, "Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.'" Now come on, folks. Any general with half a brain would first send out his air force, followed by his armored tanks, and then the ground troops. And if you're going to sing, for heaven's sake, you sing after you win, not before. Right? 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 Wrong! That's how we think. That's not how God thinks. Jehoshaphat sent out the choir and the orchestra at the head of the army. And they're singing. No weapons. Oh, they had weapons, all right, but they weren't the kind you can see. They had weapons of warfare that says in Corinthians that demolish strongholds, that tear down the forces of the enemy in the spiritual world, that absolutely move out of the way and clear ground for God's people. They had weapons, but you can't see them. They had weapons of warfare that are spiritual. They took time to praise. You ever wonder why praise and worship are so important to God that He actually commands it? He doesn't just suggest it, He commands it. Do you remember that the first four of the Ten Commandments given to human beings, to humanity through Moses, the first four have to do with our worship of God? Why is this so important to God? Why? Is He just some big, overgrown, egocentric kid with a weak ego who needs our strokes? And He pouts if He doesn't get it? Throws lightning bolts if we don't act the way He wants us to? Is that the kind of God that you think He is? Dear friends, God does not need our worship. God is totally self-sufficient. He was perfectly fine before you and I ever came on the scene. And he'll be perfectly fine after you and I leave this scene. And he's perfectly fine today. Thank you very much. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. He wants it. He is the only God. He is the only one worthy of worship. But that's not a need. He knows that you and I desperately need it. Now this summer, like most of us who go home in the summer, I had a couple doctor's appointments, and my physiotherapist took a look at my neck and my back, and he gave me some stretching exercises to keep me limber. And, you know, if you saw me doing my exercises this morning, you'd probably laugh. I mean, my body is in really strange positions. From my lower back, I'm lying on the floor with my one foot up against the wall, the other one crossed over and stretching. It looks really stupid. I mean, I'm not going to do it here this morning. And, you know, many times when I'm doing them, I'm even privately, I'm feeling a little strange. It feels awkward. Now, why would my physiotherapist ask me to do something so unnatural, so silly? Why? Because he wants me to be whole. A doctor gives a prescription. A physiotherapist gives a prescription, not to make us sick, but to make us better. Dear friends, hear me. True worship is God's number one prescription for man's brokenness. Do you hear that? True praise and worship is God's number one prescription for our brokenness. We've all been broken by sin, every single one of us. Some damaged physically, some damaged socially, some damaged mentally or emotionally or volitionally or spiritually, or most of us have been damaged in all those ways. Some of our brokenness in body, for example, is often caused by brokenness in our soul. When we feel anger or resentment or bitterness over past pain and abuse in our life, whether that's emotional, sexual, physical, relational, our mind rationalizes our response and we respond negatively and justify that because we've been hurt, so we think we can hurt somebody else, and we carry that bitterness with us. Our will chooses to resent and carry the grudge. But as a result, our body breaks down from that internal poison. It was never designed to contain that. And so we have barriers erected to our wholeness. In our mind, in our will, our emotions, in our body. Barriers. I remember years ago hearing about a woman who was at a football game. And some teenage boys behind her had one of those long plastic trumpets that you blow to cheer on your team. And they brought it down a little too low and wah, right behind her ear. Popped her eardrum, she went deaf. The lady was a Christian. She went home that day, obviously in pain, went to the doctor. It was gone. Her ear was gone. And the question she had would be the question any of you and I would have. Why, God? Why? Why me? Why those dumb kids? And she'd go around town looking for those kids, wishing she could drive her car over them or get them back or find their phone number and give them what for. And she began to get so angry and hostile and bitter, and she watched her life just start to, not just her hearing, but the rest of her life started to go downhill. It was a couple years before she realized what was happening to her. And she heard a message, perhaps similar like this, that indicated that God's number one prescription for our brokenness was praise. And although it didn't make sense to her head, she said, God, if that's your prescription, then I want to try it. And she began to praise Him. And as she began to praise Him, all she could think was those stupid teenagers who blew that trumpet. And she said, Lord, I forgive them. I choose to let go of that bitterness. I choose to let go of that resentment, that hatred. I let it go. I put it under Your blood. And I worship You that You are the God who is sovereign. I don't understand why You allowed that to happen, but I worship You that You don't make mistakes. I worship You that Your plan has not been thwarted. I worship You that You are still the God who heals. I worship You that no matter what You choose for my life, I am Your servant. Lead on. And while she was worshiping the Lord, her ear popped and she was instantly healed. Now, I'm not saying that happens every time, dear friends, but it illustrates the point. Many times there are things that are far deeper down in our lives than just something on the surface. We see a particular problem, a particular enemy, and we think that's the problem. And God says, no, that's just the symptom. I want to get to the real problem. And many times those things in life surround us, and God allows them specifically so that we will come to Him, come to that place where we say, I have no power of my own, my eyes are on You. Because when we get our eyes on God, when we choose to praise, when we choose to look beyond ourselves to Him, it's in that context that God is free to reveal what's going on in our lives. It's in that context that He's free to minister, free to pour out His healing or His blessing or His touch or His revelation or His prophecy, whatever He wants to do. It's in that context that He is free to move in us. Is your life jammed like that printing press I was referring to earlier? You may say, how do I get unjammed? How does my life get fixed? How do I get healed, restored, back to the original design that God wanted for me? Dear friends, at the risk of oversimplifying, I'm going to say it. You and I recover to the place that God wants for us by encountering the true and living God in genuine worship. And when we encounter Him in genuine worship and respond to Him, not just with a couple minutes on Friday morning, not just by singing a song, no. When we take all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our will, all of our strength, all of our body, all of our person, all of our past, all of our present, all of our future, all, and say, Lord, this is for You. When we worship Him, we will be changed. We will be fixed. When Moses encountered God on the mountain, he came down. Remember, his face shone. It was so radiant. It says that he veiled his face. It doesn't tell us, but you know, one of the reasons why he veiled his face? Most people think it was so brilliant that they couldn't look. There was another reason. Because the glory started to fade. And after a while, you know, Moses kind of wished the glory would have still been there. But if he held the veil over, maybe people thought, yeah, he's still got the glory, still got the shining. You know what, in kind of reference to that, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we as Christians have a glory that is not diminishing, but a glory that is increasing. It contrasts it. Listen to this. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The word here, transformed, is the Greek word metamorphao, from which we get our word metamorphosis. And those of you who know what that is, it's the transformation, it's the change. And a good example is a caterpillar goes into the cocoon, spins the cocoon, comes out another caterpillar? No. What does it come out as? A butterfly. And not just another caterpillar with a couple changes. No, it's a metamorphosis, a transformation. It is a new creature. That's the word that is used here that describes what happens to you and me when we look into the face of Jesus and see Him for who He is and begin to reflect His glory. We become metamorphosed. We become transformed. We become changed. Praise God. That's how it happens. In 1 John 3:2 we read, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is true in its entirety on the day when Christ returns for His people. We will see Him, and in that instant, the Bible says, we will be transformed completely into His image. Dear friends, what is true in the eternal sense on that day, in the complete sense, I believe is true in principle for us now. Just as on that day when we see Him in His perfection, we will be transformed into His perfection, so today, as we catch glimpses of who He is, we will be transformed into what we see of Him. Our need is to see Him. Our need is to focus on Him. Our need is to be drawn into the presence of His glory and there be transformed. In praise, we are changed. And in praise, other things change as well. Look at verse 22. We read, as the people began to sing and praise, the Lord set up ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. As the people praised, God worked. Do you hear that this morning? Do you know that in your own life? Or are you just going through your life doing only what you can do? Dear friends, God wants to be involved in your lives. And as you take the time to praise, take the time to worship, take the time to focus on Him and lift Him high in your life, God goes ahead of you and defeats the enemy. God goes ahead of you and makes a way where there is no way. God goes ahead and sets ambushes to the very things that Satan sends to defeat us. I don't know about you, but my heart says, hallelujah. I'm not in this alone. And neither are you. There's power in praise. I believe that many churches, and perhaps most people in our churches, have yet to discover. I'm not talking about a worship style. I'm not talking about a way of praise. That's not what we're discussing here. We're talking about what happens in the depth of your being between you and God, both privately and corporately. When we praise Him from the depths of our being, declaring Him to be number one, lift up His glory and acknowledge that. When we do that, dear friends, it is in praise that God delivers. It is in praise that God heals. It is in praise that God restores. It is in praise that God cleanses. It is in praise that God empowers. It is in praise that God defeats the enemy. It is in praise that God breaks down barriers, demolishes stronghold, and changes us. For it is in praise that we see Him as He really is. When I was in Vancouver this summer, I met a missionary from Zaire, he's working in Canada now because the field was closed after the coup a number of years back. But he reminded me of the time that Brenda and I were there about 12 years ago. We'd been privileged to go and conduct a conference for the missionary team down in Zaire. And as I prayed about what to share with these missionaries, you know, what do you teach missionaries? I mean, don't they know everything? And so as I prayed about it, the Lord said, just expose them to me. Let them see me. And so I went down there and I led them through studies and messages on the character and nature of God. And then we took time after that simply to respond. We would study about God's sovereignty. We would sing and praise God for His sovereignty. We read about His healing power. We would sing and pray and praise about His healing power. We were just responding to God. But what happened in Zaire, God moved in on us and transformed that group of missionaries so powerfully that this man said to me just a couple of weeks ago back in Canada, he says, Dave, our field was never the same after that conference. He said one of the missionaries went back to his home village and he said he simply translated the content and read it to his people. And as they began to catch a glimpse of who God was, revival broke out and thousands of people were saved and people were healed and God was doing mighty things. It's no magic formula, dear friends. It's simply catching a glimpse of who God really is and worshiping Him. If we, God's people, are to be what He planned for us to be, if we are to experience His deliverance and fullness, if we are to be transformed into His likeness, if we are to become reproducing believers who are attractive to the world, to make people want to know the Jesus that we know, then, dear friends, praise must go first. There's no option. If that's what you want, then praise must go first. When we prioritize praise, the ramifications are profound. Look at verse 25. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Who would have ever thought that anything like that was possible? Those things don't happen, do they? Good morning. Do those kind of things happen? Yes. Not just in the Old Testament. Not just in the New Testament. Today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just waiting for His people to remember that. First Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, hasn't even entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." Regardless of what our problems may be, dear friends, regardless of how many enemies are coming against us, as we praise God, He gives us either grace to endure or power to overcome. As we look at this list, when you're faced with these kind of armies, these problems, you may say, how in the world can I praise God? This is not exhaustive, but let me just give you a sampling. Oh God, we praise You that You are the Almighty God. There is none like You. There is none beside You. You have all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And You have commissioned us with Your authority to go into this world and make disciples. We have no need to fear. We bless You that no matter what fear comes our way, it falls. The Bible says fear has torment, but Your perfect love casts out fear. I praise You, Lord, that Your perfect love is in me. I have no need to fear. Lord, You know how scared I am to tell anybody about my faith. You know that I can't transform anybody spiritually. Only You can do that, but You can. You sent Your Spirit to draw people to Yourself, to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's Your job. And so, Lord, I pray specifically for this person and that person and this person, and I commit them to You and ask You to work in their hearts and do the work. I'll tell the message. I'll tell them what You're doing in my life, but You change their hearts. I praise You for that in Jesus' name. Lord, You know how fearful I am to be rejected by men. I want everybody to like me, and sometimes I choose their way instead of Yours. But God, I let You know this morning that You are great and mighty. You are the one I want to live for. I praise You that Your approval of me is more important than men. And so I thank You that You will enable me to live that way. Father, I thank You that You are Jehovah Rapha, the healer. I thank You that You can reach down into my past and heal all the things that have twisted me from my childhood. You know those who have sinned against me. I release them from bitterness. I release them from the hatred I've had. I thank You for Your cleansing and forgiveness, and I ask You to extend that to them. I thank You, Lord, that You are the one who can heal me totally from all of that emotional pain, and I bring that bag to You today, and I leave it with You at the foot of the cross. I praise You, Lord, that You are the one who can enable me to trust You. Even though I'm weak in and of myself and I can't do it, Lord, I'm asking You today, You who can do anything and everything, build within me that ability to trust and to lay my life at Your feet. We've already talked about Your healing power, Lord. You know the brokenness in our lives that is beyond emotional. Our bodies need Your touch. Your Word says that by Your stripes we are healed. Thank You that in the blood of Jesus Christ we have fullness of health. And we come to You today and bring our brokenness and exchange it for Your health. Lord, You know those who are spiritually oppressed by the enemy. Thank You that the weapons we have are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And in the name of Jesus, we pull down all those strongholds. We bless You, Lord, that You've given us that authority. And in Christ's name, we banish the enemy from our presence, from our families. And we ask for Your victory in Jesus' name. Lord, You know the relationships that are broken here today. You know, those marriages that are struggling, the parents and teenagers that are having hassle in their homes. Oh God, we thank You that You are the author of love, and You are the one who can mend that which is broken and restore that which is gone. And so we praise You, Lord, that even today You will bring wholeness to homes. All of us need faith, Lord, beyond our own. We want to live our lives not by faith in the Son of God just, but by faith of the Son of God. For those, Lord, who need finances, we remember You're Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who provides. You own everything in this universe. It's all in Your hand. It's Yours. And so we praise You, Lord, that it is all Yours. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You provided us a way out of our problems. Thank you that you provided a way past the pain of our past. And Lord, we ask today that as we fix our eyes on you, as we worship you, as we entrust our lives to you, Lord, that we would learn more and more and more how to put you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, dear friends, praise first. When you're faced with trials, praise first. When your enemies are about to engulf you, praise first. If you want to know the victory that God fashioned for you, praise first. Dear friends, praise must go first. And that's precisely where the Spirit of God would hit. Amen? Let's take some time to do just that. There's some praise choruses in your bulletin. They are an opportunity for you to